Tov and Chodesh Tov.
The Mazel Tov.
Thank you. A lot of Tovs. 17 times over and over again.
Tov and Meor.
So for Parshas Vayetze, I wanted to study with you Tefillah. And Tefillah is relevant to a lot of the Parshas that we've had before because all the Avos were involved in Tefillah. Avraham Avinu we'll see, and Yitzhak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu. In the case of Yaakov, we have it here very early in Parshas Vayetze. What page is it on? What page of the Blue Chumashim does
66.
66. Okay, so I'll take one from Shia. And we'll see that Yaakov is on his way. You know, his father sent him far away because Esav is in hot pursuit. Esav is not a friend of Yaakov. That's understating it. And it says here, Vayetze Yaakov Beersheva Vayelech Haran. So Yaakov is a fugitive at this point, and he's going towards Haran. So as opposed to Yitzhak, who never left Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, Yaakov is on his way out into Golos, so to speak. He's in exile. And then the Torah says, Vayifka Bamakom Vayolin Sham. And the question is, what does Vayifka mean? Vayifka b'mok, very strange verb, Vayifka. Rabbi Seinu, if you take a look in the Blue Chumash, three lines up from the bottom on the right column, it says, Rabbi Seinu Pirshu, Lashon Tefillah. Okay, so Vayifka is a Lashon Tefillah. Where is the source for this? If you take a look on your pages, number two, this is the Gemara in Brachos. The pages are on that shtender in the back. Take one from each pile. Itmar. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Amar, Tfilos Avos Tiknum. So according to this opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the Avos were Mesakein Tfilah. And who disagrees? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Tfilos Keneged Tvidim Tiknus. Now, it seems that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, our obligation of Tfilah reflects the Tvidim. And we know that there were two Korbanos Tvidim. There was the Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. So the first Nafkamina that seems to be blatant is about Meiriv. According to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, as we'll soon see, to the same extent that Avraham Avinu established the Tefillah, and Yitzhak as well, Yaakov did as well. And that's Tefillas Arvis. So we have Tefillas Arvis that's established by Yaakov Avinu. That's according to Rabbi Yossi. But according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we don't have a basis for Tefillah other than two Tvidim, which is a Tamid Shel Shachar and a Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Tanya Kavosei de Rabbi Yossi, Tanya Kavosei de Rabbi Yeshua, Tanya Kavosei de Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Avram, TK, we have a brisa that says Avram established Tefillas Shacharis. Shenemar Vayashkem Avram Baboker El Amakom Asher Amad Shom. In other words, Avram Avinu woke up in the morning and he returned to the same place where he had stood earlier. What it means he had stood earlier? So the word Amida in the Torah is a reference to Tefillah. And Avraham Avinu goes back to the place that he originally davened. And that's going to be a source for a very famous halacha called Kvius Makom L'Tefillah. A person should have a Makom Kavua where he davens. Yitzchak Tikein Tefillas Minchus Shenem Vayetze Yitzchak L'Suach L'Sodeh. This is just recently at the end of Parshas told us, Lifnos Erev, Yain Sicha Ela Tefillah Shenemer Tefillah Lani Kiyatov Hashem Yishpoch Sicha. Again, there are deep, profound meanings here that we're not necessarily going to touch upon today. We're going to focus now on Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu Tikein Tefillas Arvish Shenemer Vayivka Bamokom Vayolan Shom Vayin Pigio Elo Tefillah Shenemar Ve'atol Tispalu Ve'ada Oma Zev El Tiso Ve'adam Rina Tefillah Ve'al Tifka Bi. Yaakov Avinu, at the beginning of our parasha, Parashas Vayetze, is preoccupied with tefillah, and that's Vayivka Bamakom, as we saw Rashi in Chumash quotes it, and now we see it in the original source in the Gemara. Again, if we had more time, we would go through the Pesukim and see how the Gemara proves that Sicha is a reference to tefillah, that Pegiyah is a reference to tefillah. But we want to focus on the following issue here. And that is, what's the status of Tfilas Arvis? And this is both a halachic issue and a hashkafic issue, because it would seem that if Yaakov established Tfilah, in this case Tfilas Arvis, then Tfilas Arvis should be a chova, it should be an absolute requirement. If, on the other hand, the Tfilas are, as Rabbi Yossi has, Keneged Tfilah, Keneged Tmidim Tiknum, well, that leaves out Arvis. I mean, Arvis is Keneged Haktoras Eivarim Pedarim, but that's not a real chova, and therefore Tfilas Arvis would be a Rishus. It says, Tanya Kavase Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Ma, what's the support that Tfilos are blessing Keneged Tmidim? It says, Tfilos HaShachar Ad Chatzos, Sharei Tomin Shel Shachar Kori V'Hol Echad Chatzos. Rav Yehuda Omer Ad Arba Shos, Tomin Shel Shachar Kori V'Arba V'Hol Echad Arba Shos. And why is Tfilos Minchad Erev, Sharei Tomin Shel Ben Arbaim, is Kori V'Hol Echad Erev? Rav Yossi Omer Ad Plaga Mincha, Sharei Tomin Shel Ben Arbaim, Kori V'Hol Echad Plaga Mincha. In any event, we see that the Zmane HaTfilah depend upon Zmane HaTmidim. And this all reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says that Tfilos Keneged Tmidim Tiknu. Mipnei Ma Omru Tfilah, Tfilos HaErev, Ein La Kva. There's no end point beyond which you can no longer daven. Ma'ir Shoye Varmu Pdorm Shlonis Aklu Miba Erev, Krave Volkum Kol Alayla. Because Haktoras Eivarim Pdorim has no set time limit. It just has to be a Laila, anytime during the Laila. Why is Musaf the entire day? Because Karv Musaf is Karv Kol Hayom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Sheva Shos. Fine. But we see clearly that all the Zmanei HaTfilah are determined by Zmanei Karbanos. And therefore the Gemara proves from here, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, that Tfilah is Keneged Karbanos Tiknu. The Gemara goes on to say that this Braisa, which assumes that the Zmanei Tefillah are determined by Zmanei Karbanos, Lema Tehevi, this is about four lines up from the bottom, Lema Tehevi, Tuvta de Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that Tefillos are Vos Tiknum. And the Gemara gives a very strange answer. The Gemara says, Emolecha, what Rabbi Yossi is really going to argue is Tfilos Avos Tiknu. You know, it's true that the Tfilos were established by the Avos, but nevertheless, Asmachinu Rabbonin HaKarbonos. Somehow the Rabbonin, when they came to establish the Zmanei HaTfilah, they went and they used the framework of Zmanei HaKarbonos. That's called Asmachinu Rabbonin HaKarbonos. And you have to say such a thing. You know, it can't be that Rabbi Yossi Kipshuto denies the connection between Tefillah and the Takon of Tefillah and Karbonos, because if that be the case, you have to undermine Tefillah's Musaf. There were three Avos. Musaf is a fourth Tefillah, and yet that's a Takona of Tefillah's Musaf Keneged Karbon Musaf. So therefore you have to say that Tefillah's Avos Tiknum according to Rabbi Yossi, but Asmachinu Rabbonon a Karbonos. So again, the Zmani HaTfilah reflect the Karbonos, but the Iker Takana, that's when I'm chayev, when I'm obligated to daven three times a day, it's because of the Avos. Rabbi Yossi is only adding, wait a minute, you know, it's not simply Avos, we have to introduce another element into the equation, and that variable is Karbonos, is Tmidim, that's going to establish the Tfilas Musaf. So if you ask me why I'm obligated to daven a Tfilas Musaf, the answer is, Keneged Karbonos Tiknum, it's a Karbon Musaf. But he asked me, why am I chayv to daven a weekday tefillah? That's because of the Avos. You'll ask me, why am I limited to certain Zmanim? Okay, that the answer might be Karbonos. That will borrow from Karbonos. So we'll use the framework of Karbonos in order to set up a framework of Zmanei HaTfilah. But it would seem clearly that if I were to, and we'll soon see this in Rishonim, that if I were to draw some halachic conclusion from this Gemara, you know, it's very nice, you know, to very theoretical and conceptual to try to figure out, you know, when and how the Takon of Tefillah evolved and was established. It's very nice to see these two approaches, but I'd like to know, tachlis, how does it cut ice? And it would seem that the nafkamina would be not as far as Zmani HaTefillah is concerned, because even Rabbi Yossi is going to borrow the Zmani HaTefillah from Karbonos, but rather the nafkamina is going to be where the Tefillah service is a chova, and we'll see this in Mirtz Hashem in the Rif and the Rambam as we go along, that according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, if Tefillos Avos Tiknu, then logically we should assume that since Yaakov Avinu Vayifka Bamakom was davening Tefillos Arvis, he established Tefillos Arvis, we are obligated in Tefillos Arvis no less than we're obligated in the Tefillah of Shachris, which was established by Avram, and the Tefillah of Mincha was established by Yitzchak.
So would you say that Musa is a Rishosi?
But when it comes to Musaf, the entire essence of Musaf was a separate takana because of the karma. Notice again, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina is claiming that you cannot whittle down your chiyuv tefillah and be limited and restricted by karmanos. There could be a chiyuv tefillah which is not based on karmanos, but he doesn't deny the principle that there's a chiyuv tefillah based on karmanos. And that's going to establish two things. Number one, it's going to establish the tefillah as musaf as a chiyuv, and number two, it's going to establish the zmani tefillah as being absolutely indispensable. But again, Rabbi Osei, let's hold that question for a while, because you know, we want to just slowly but surely get into it. The Avodraham has a little drush over here in which he says, if you take the second letter of each of the names of the Avos, so in the case of Avram you have Beis, in the case of Yitzchak you have Tzadi, in the case of Yaakov you have Ayin, you'll end up with the three Zmani HaTefillah. The Beis of Avram is Keneged Boker, and the Tzadi of Yitzchak is Keneged Tzorayim, which is Mincha, and the Ayin of Yaakov is Keneged Tefillas Arvis. And what I want to get out of this Avodraham, besides being very cute, and if you were, you know, if you were publishing a siddur and you had a page about tefillah, you know, you might want to insist that the publisher, the printer, should enlarge certain letters. You know, in this case, the second letter of each of the names of the three others. You'll see this, by the way, in Yontif Davini. You know, when they enlarge certain letters. But okay, that's not for us now. So the Yerushalmi now has something to add to this whole discussion. And it's very interesting that the names Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov appear in the Torah 18 times. He says, Rav Chanina b'shem Rabbi Pinchas, k'neged shmonasrei po'amim, sha'avos k'suvim b'Torah Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. So if you go through the Torah and you look for Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you find it 18 times. And that's connected to the 18 brachos of Shmon Esrei. Again, this is before the establishment of Birchas Haminu, what we call Amal Shin Amal Si Sikva. And Im Yom L'Chad, wait a minute, I counted 19, because it says, Hine Hashem Nitzav Olav, and the word Olav here is a reference to Yaakov, Vinu Leslei B'minyonam. We're not going to count that, because it doesn't say his name explicitly. Im Yom L'Chad Am Shvasrei, that if you're only looking for the explicit mention of the name, then you have to drop one, because it says, Vayikra behem shmi uveshem avosai, Avraham v'Yitzchak, and yet Yaakov's name is not mentioned, minun, I'm still going to count Yaakov. And the reason for that, apparently, is because it says, Beshem avosai. And the avosai here is a reference to Yaakov as well. But we see clearly from the Yerushalmi that Tfilos Keneged Avos Tiknu, meaning that the Takon of 18 brachos in Shmon Esrei is borrowed from the Avos, because the Avos appear in the Torah 18 times. Rabbi Olson, just give me a few more minutes, if you don't mind. I'm sorry, I apologize, but you know, this week has been it's very involving week for me. You know, and I'm not Baruch Hashem. So you know, the amount of time I have a shiur after this in Derech HaLimud, and I okay, fine. But without further ado, what I want to show you is that this concept of Tefillah Keneged Avos Tiknu is something that appears and reappears in the literature time and time again. And he says here in the name of the Yismach Moshe, that's more of a Hasidish approach, he says that if you take a look, L'chore Kosh Arei Ayom Holichach HaLaila, you might ask, why is it that we start with a tefillah of Avraham Avinu in the morning, when in halachic terms, when does the day actually begin? At night. That's called Ayom Holichach HaLaila. So therefore, when Avraham Avinu established his tefillah as the first of the three, when logically should he had davened? At night in Arvis. Havilei le'Avraham le'sakein Arvis. Let's give Shachris to Yitzchak and Meiriv to Yaakov. Ah, but here again we want to introduce the Karbonos element. And the Karbonos element is that in Kodshim and Beis HaMikdash, HaLaila Holichach HaYom. You know, it's when do we open up the Beis HaMikdash for business? When do the doors, the gates open? In the daytime, and it closes at night. So Avraham Avinu himself was, in a sense, bound by the element of Karbonos. So as we see here over and over again, that even though Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina is right, and Tfilos is Avos Tiknum, but nevertheless, even the Avos themselves, when they were sacking their various Tfilos, they were bound by the Karbonos, the laws of Karbonos. Avraham Avinu, so to speak, was bound by the fact that the first Karbon is going to be the Tomid Shel Shachar. That's when the Beis HaMikdash opens for business. The Zmani Atfilah are either going to reflect until midday at Chatzos, or until the end of the seventh, or the end of the fourth hour, according to Yehuda, depending upon when is the last time for the Tomid Shel Shachar. And you get the impression that the Avos themselves were in a certain sense bound by the framework of Karbonos. Here I want to share with you something that's absolutely fascinating. You know that the Vilna Gaon was very hesitant to give Haskamos. He was known far and wide as the Gadol Hador. And when people came to ask him for a haskama, on the one hand, he didn't want to push them away. You know, he wasn't as bad as me, you know, and I don't want to accept your questions. Right? He was more of a sensitive, good guy. So he didn't want to push them away. But on the other hand, he was very, very inhibited about giving haskama. So here's a particular story in which one of the Machabre Asfarim of that time approached the Vilna Gaon, and he had written a pirish on the Siddur HaTefillah. Now you can imagine that the Gaon was probably very inhibited about giving haskama on a pirish on Tefillah. So what he did was, the Gaon, with his very limited free time, he decided to open up the book and see what this guy is writing about. And I assure you that when he opened the book, he was very skeptical. But what did he see? The first Nikol Torah was about Adon Olam. It seems that there's a minog, I don't know if you've seen it in the Siddurim, I don't have this minog, but in the Siddurim you'll see that Adon Olam appears at the very beginning of Shachris, and then again at the end, or some don't even have it at the end of the game. So this anonymous author wanted to understand, why do we have this minog that during Shachris we begin with Adon Olam? So he writes the following. Miyom Shebara Kodesh Baruch Hu Salomo, Chazal tell us that there was no one until Avraham Avinu appeared on the scene who described God as the Adon Hakol. He was the master of the universe. And therefore it makes sense that when we're involved in the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, which is tefillas Shachris, we're going to recite Adon Olam. Because Adon Olam is the statement that was made by none other than Avraham Avinu. It's there, Falkein Roy Likvas Hashem Adon Olam B'tchilas Tfilos Shel Avraham. And the Gaon was so excited about this opening introduction to the book that he says, Ilmoli Lobos Sefer Zelitfus, if the book wasn't published, Rak L'Shem Pir Zekedai. It was worth it just for his interpretation of this Adon Olam. And again, I call this to your attention because we see clearly that the thrust of every one of the Mefarshim is to accept the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, that Tfilos Avos Tiknum, with again the one caveat that there's certain framework and certain conditions that have to meet and reflect what was going on in the Karbonos to Tfilim in the Mikdash. If you take a look, for example, of Meir Simcha Mitvinsk, in his commentary on Lech Lecha, he quotes a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says that when Avraham Avinu in the Mice of Stone, with the Melech Stone, he declares, I don't want to take from you anything. Michut ve'atzroch now is as a merit for this, his descendants would be Zocha, number one, the Chut of Tzitzis, and number two, the Ritzua of Tfilin, because he says, Michut ve'atzroch now. So the chut is a reference to chut eight tzitzis, to tcheles, and the sroch now, a sroch is a strap, that's a hint, or shall we say allusion to tefillin. Says Rav Meir Simcha, that when do we wear tzitzis and tefillin? Not necessarily at mincha time, although I'm sure you'll meet people who do wear tefillin at mincha time. But Yitachin, he says, with tefillah chakras, we should be very careful to wear tefillin and tzitzis, or talis, at chakras. Why shavram tikna? Because the entire the tradition of reciting tefillah chakras is based on Avram's takana. It's called Yisrael, the whole Jewish nation at that point in chakras should be lubash and tefillah and talis gadol mishum zeh. Once again, reflecting the fact that tefillah is keneged. Keneged avos tiknum like Rav Yossi Berb Chanina. But now we get into the question of Meir. Here it becomes rough going. So Gershon, you wanted to ask a question before. Now would be a good break as we go on to Meir.
Rabbi, when you mentioned that Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov mentioned 18 times, that means as a group.
I think so.
And then, we do some cross referencing to fill in those gaps.
Now the Gemara Brachas talks about Arvis. Here's a machlokes between two Tanoim, Rab Gamliel and Rab Yoshua. Now the archives, you know, the record for this machlokes, how do we know about this machlokes? It comes from a tradition of Rab Yehuda, the name of Shmuel. And I emphasize that to you because we're going to soon see that in this very strange sugya, we're not exactly sure about this machlokas, whether this machlokas ever exists or not. The Gemara says, Tfilas Arvis from Gamliel Omer Chova. So please underline those words, because that again reflects the shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, that Tfilos almost take them. There's no reason why Tfilas Arvis, as the Takana here at the beginning of Parashas Vayetze, should be inferior to Shachris and Mincha. But Rabbi Yeshua is recorded as saying Rishus. Then they asked Abaye and Rava a little bit later on in history, how do we paskin? Abaye says, Kedivrei Omer Chova. So we're very excited about Abaye. We should add this to Yal Kagam. Another case where we paskin like Abaye, because Rabbi Gamliel holds it's a Chova, reflecting the Shita that we accept that Tfilos Avos Tiknum. But nevertheless, Rava was asked the same question, and Halacha Kedivrei Omer Rishus. And all this is based on the premise that there was a machlokas about this issue. But Tana Rabbana, we have a price that tells us.
It's interesting that he doesn't say Abaye Omer Chova, Rava Omer Rishus.
Right, because at this point the Gemara wants to emphasize that there were two shitos.
Right.
Now the Gemara is going to say there were never two shitos.
Kedivrei Omer, which is
right. Kedivrei Omer means that there was somebody who said Rishus.
Right.
Is there really someone who says Rishus? Tana Rabbanan, I have news for you. Nobody ever said it was a Rishus. Ma'isa b'talmid echad shebol lifnei Rabbi Yoshua. He had heard this tradition that attributed the position to Rabbi Yeshua that it's a Rishus. Omalei tefilas Rishus Ochova. Omalei Rishus. Okay, so far it seems like Rabbi Yeshua is reiterating his position as originally stated, but Paul if they Rav Gamliel, when the same student came from Rav Gamliel, Omalei tefilas Aris Rishus Ochomalei Chova. So Rav Gamliel's response was that it's a Chova. Omalei v'alo Rabbi Yeshua Omalei Rishus. Whoa. This Rav Gamliel was a tough guy, you know. He was the at that point, he was still in the top banana position. He was the Gadol HaDor, he was the Rosh HaGolus. Nobody could argue with Rav Gamliel. But wait a minute, I just heard from Rabbi Yeshua that he argues with Omalei Hamtein Adshi Kansu Balei Trisin Lebeis HaMedrash. Wait till all the Chachomim come in, and let's call Rabbi Yeshua to task and see if he's going to really maintain Rishus. Shenichlesu bali trisim omar ashol v'shol tefilas arvis shus chomalei Rav Gamliel chov amalem Rav Gamliel chachomim klum. He was being very facetious here, and he says yesh adam shecholik v'davar zeh. You know, he's playing. We call it Yiddish domavat. You know, he's making himself like as if he was dumb. Is there anyone who disagrees? He was expecting Rabbi Yeshua to stand up and say I disagree. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua laugh. Nobody disagrees with you. What do you mean no one disagrees with you? Omalei v'alo mishimcha omer rishus. Now I know, Rav Yeshua is breaking into a sweat over here because publicly, Rav Gamliel is accusing Rav Yeshua of saying Rishus. Omale Rav Yeshua, Omale Yeshua, Amod al Raglecha v'yaidu b'cha. Let's see, we're going to testify about what you said. Omar Rav Yeshua Raglo v'Omar. And he made the following very ambiguous declaration. He says, Il Moli Ani Chai v'hu Meis. This guy who claims that I said Rishus, if not for the fact that I'm alive and he was dead, Yochel Achai L'Hakrish Es HaMes, can I disagree with the mess? But Achshav Ani Chai V'Hu Chai, we're both alive. In other words, it wouldn't be right for me to disagree with someone who's dead, because then you say, well, you know, that's easy. You know, he says that you said Rishus, and now you're denying that you ever said it was a Rishus. That's a cinch. But no, he's alive. Ani chai v'hu chai. V'heich yochol hachai l'akrish sachai. And he's saying something in my name, and I'm denying it. How can you begin to believe him and give him any trust? Basically, Rabbi Yeshua admitted that Tfilas Arvis is a chova. You get the impression that maybe he admitted so under some very extreme duress circumstances. But the bottom line is, when you walk away from the sugya, you get the impression that Tfilas Arvis is chova. And I'm not so upset about that, because my agenda is that Tfilas Arvis should be a chova because of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, and the Tfilah of Yaakov Avinu. And here, the one who really is confused about this whole sugya is the Chasam Sofer himself. Now, this is number 9 on your page. And if you fast forward for a second, just to see where we want to get to today, so we set our goals. Number 29, which is on the bottom of page 4, that's going to be the Chasam Sofer's solution to this problem. But here, in number 9, this is the Chasam Sofer presenting the ambiguity of this whole sugya. He says, Yesh Lakar. Tfilos avos tiknum u'keneget midim. The Gemara seems to assume that even Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, who says tfilos avos tiknum, also has in his back pocket that tmidim. Is Avram shachris keneget tamid shel shachar v'hu chova, v'Yitzchak keneget tamid shel bein arbaim v'hu chova, Yaakov muvchar sheba avos. Of all the avos, Chazal put Yaakov on the highest level of the three, as far as Klal Yisrael is concerned. And it's Chut HaMeshulash. He completes that tripod. You know, the circle is now closed. Who closes the circle is Yaakov Avinu. And yet Avol Nachloso, what does he leave for us? A Tfilas Rishus? Halo Dovarhu means Tema. This I don't understand. If anyone should have instituted a tefilas chova, it should have been Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu is the bechira of us. He's the chut hamishulash, and this is paradoxical, almost counterintuitive, that Yaakov Avinu leaves us with what? With a tefilas rishus. So I both said, what you have to do here is you have to sort of like patiently wait for a while with bated breath to see how the Chasam Sofer is going to somehow justify why Yaakov Avinu established the Tfilas Rishus. That's a very Peledic idea, that Yaakov should have bequeathed to Klal Yisrael the Tfilas of Tfilas Rishus. Now, you know, one of the super commentaries amongst the Rishonim on Masechta Brachos is the Nemuke Yosef. He was a Rishon. And he found that this Gemara in Brachos that concluded with this whole story of Il Mole Ani Chai V'Hu Mes is a very strange story. We have a principle called Meshanim Mipnei HaSholom that for certain cases we're allowed to lie. Hare Rav Shua Omar Ilu Ani Chai V'Hu Mes Hoi Yochel HaChai Lakash HaMes V'Yafal Pisha Cholkim Tomid Hatam V'Zeh K'mo Sh'amarnu B'Derech HaSheni. Okay, we have to go through the Derech HaSheni, which is not for now, but basically, the Nemuke Yosef is also very perplexed here as to why Rabbi Yeshua rescinded his original position almost by fabricating the truth and telling publicly this fellow who heard from Rabbi Yeshua that Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, that he never said it. Okay, we're looking now on the flip side of your page. And the Gemara seems to assume that according to the Man D'Omer Tfilas Arvis Rishus, sometimes we're not going to be, if it's a shas hadchak and it's a great tircha to get together and daven Meir, if we're going to drop it. But the point is that Rashi says over there that why is tefilas arvus rishus? He says mipnei shehi keneged hekter chalovim v'hekter imurim. She'ein ma'akvim kaparosa, meaning the carbon is machaper with zrikas adam, and although there's a kiyum of hekter chalovim that we burn them on the mizbeach, but nevertheless that kiyum is not indispensable. We can do without it, and since it's not ma'akiv kapara, therefore we're gonna allow for tefilas arvus reshus. Now, Rabosai, what I'd like to do for a moment here is fast forward to page 3. Don't lose the place here. We're up to number 13. I'll make a note for myself so I don't forget to come back. But we want to look at the Mabit. The Mabit was a great philosopher who lived about 2.5 centuries ago, and he wrote, amongst other things, the Beis Elokim, which is a commentary on the tefillah. And he writes, you'll see this on the bottom left of page 3, that tefillas Yaakovina derived from the post Vayifka b'mokom vayolan shom kibo ha-shemesh, and the Gemara establishes that Vayifka pegiyah is a lashon tefillah. And he says the following, Mikan lomdu, this is on line 4, that from this we derived that Tikein Yaakov Tfilas Arvis Ki Tfilos Ovos Tiknu. So at this particular point in the presentation, we're assuming that we passing like Rav Yosef, Rav Hanina, and it was the Ovos who established the Tfilos, including Tfilas Arvis, which was established by Yaakov Avinu. But V'im HaTfilos Keneged Tmidim Tiknu Nim Sosh Tfilas Arvis Rishus. On the other hand, if we go with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position that tefillos were established keneged karbonos, then in the case of Eivarim u'Pugdarim, Shaholchim Isachim Kol Alayla, that is only Rishus. He says, Vafilu Lemisha Omer Shetfilos Ovas Tiknu, Efshar Shetfilas Arvis Rishus. This is the breakthrough of all the sources that we've been trying to learn today. Until now, we've been assuming beyond the shadow of a doubt, and that was certainly the premise of the Chasam Sofer, that if Yaakov Avinu established Tfilos Arvis, it must be a chova no less than the Tfilos of the first two Avos. After all, Yaakov Avinu is the Bechira Avos. And the Mabit wants to explain, no, that Yaakov Avinu established a Tfilos Rishus. Now, why is this so? So in order to appreciate the approach of the Beis Elokim and the Mabit, we have to go back to Rashi. Rashi says that the Gemara in Chulin tells us, this is on the bottom right of your page, that the reason why Yaakov, Vayifka b'mokom vayolan shom, is really Yaakov passed that place, and he went backwards, he traveled backwards, he retraced his steps. Why did he retrace his steps? Because he realized that that's the place of the future Beis HaMikdash, and that's the place that Avram and Yitzhak had already davened. And he felt that it would be wrong of him to pass that place without offering his tefillah. So he went back to that place. He had originally passed it, and then he went back to it. Says the Mabit, Kevon Shalohoisa Kavanoso Lispalil, when Yaakov Avinu daven Tfilas Arvis, his initial intention was not to daven Arvis. But Achakach Nosan Alibo Viomar, the Gemara says in Chulin, Efshar Avarti Al Mokom Shispalalu Bo Avosa Ivanilo Ispalalti? Could it be that I passed by the place, that holy place, with my ovos daven and I didn't daven? Chazal Hashem. He goes back and he retraces his steps with his palet. Ulekach omru shehirishus. Had Yaakov Avinu lechatchila decided to daven at that moment, right, when he first passed the place, that would have established Tfilas Arvis as a chova. But why is it only rishus? Because Yaakov Avinu had no intention, it wasn't part of his plan to daven there. Okay, now look, it's a nice chav, I like it. And it really does answer our fundamental issue here about why tefillas arvus is a reshus, but it still leaves us a little bit, how should I say, on shaky grounds, a little bit intellectually unsatisfied, should I say. Because if Yaakov Avinu, no less than the other avos, davens, why shouldn't he establish a tefillah? And here the Mabit says something mind-boggling. He says, Kavonas tefillos Yaakov Avinu bazeh mokom, Yaakov's intention, and we'll soon see that it's very similar to the other avos, but there's one major contrast, is tefillah ala golos. The avos realized through Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah, that the people of Israel, their descendants, their children would go into golos. And of course, considering the suffering, the anguish of, and the oppression of their descendants, they realized that there was a special responsibility incumbent upon them to pray on behalf of their descendants for the termination of golos, to bring the people back to the land. However, there are three major golios. Golos Mitzrayim is going to terminate with the establishment, ultimately, of the first bias, meaning after the Bnei Yisrael go out of the, they redeemed from the slavery of Mitzrayim, they enter into the Midbar, then they cross the Yarden under Yoshua, they begin conquering the land, and ultimately, David HaMelech, who wants to build the Migdash, but ultimately Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMigdash. That's the Geula that terminates Golos Mitzrayim. So Golos Mitzrayim is an exile, the Geula of which culminates with the first bias. And who prayed for the termination of Golos Mitzrayim and the building of the first Beis HaMigdash, that first Geula? That was Avraham Avinu. Then, after a period of four centuries and change, the Jewish people are sent into exile. This is called Golus Bavel. And that eventually will bring a Geul after 70 years. And the Golus Bavel will terminate. That Geula is brought about through the prayers of whom? Yitzchak.
Where do we see that?
It's about four lines up.
How do we know that?
Oh, you mean say which midrashim is based on? He doesn't tell us which midrashim he's based on, I'm sure. Then he says that we get to the next golus. This next golus is what we call the golus of Rome, of Edom, in which the Romans conquer the Migdash and were sent into golus. That's the third and last of the golios. Now when I say last, I mean two things. Last meaning it's the last of the golios, and number two, last, it lasts the longest of the golios. V'golos zu v'gulusenu mitzad Yaakov. Which tefillah is going to bring out our ultimate geula from this golos, the golos of Edom, is Yaakov Avinu. And he refers to another work that he wrote called Geulas Olam. V'zeu sha'amru Yaakov. This is what the Gemara says, the Chazal say about Yaakov Avinu. Efshar avarti al mokum shispal bo avos v'anilo espalalti. How could it be they were mispal for Geula? Both Avram in his context, the first Golus, and Yitzhak in his context, the second Golus. And I, Yaakov Avinu, will pass by this place without praying for the Geula? Ha mokum azehu beis el, for who you shall lie. Okay, that itself requires an hour shir. Is it Beis El? Is it Yerushalayim? Is it both? Ukmosha Shehem is Palo Albini Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash. I'm in the Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. They, my father, my grandfather, they prayed on behalf of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Miniskablet Filosim Beis Rishon Beis Sheni. Is therefore I myself, says Yaakov, you know, I have to be Mispal Albini Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash Asu. Lazeh Haisat Filoso Zos Krova Libias Hashemesh. In other words, towards the end of the day. And why? Because perhaps Yitzhak prayed his tefillah in the middle of the day, And now many, many hours have gone by until the end of the day. Hu remez legolus ha'orach hazeh. This is an allusion to the long, bitter golus that we're experiencing now. So now maybe we can answer the question, why is Tfilas Arvis Rishus? After all, Yaakov no less than his father and his grandfather to pray on behalf of the ultimate Geula from the Golus. Kizos HaGeula. Rabosai, the next piece here is what I call an absolute surprise. You know what I mean by surprise? You know, this is not something that you and I would have anticipated. And I thought that maybe he's going to tell us that the Golus is such a long Golus, and we don't know the end of the Golus, and therefore the tefillah of Yaakov, you know, maybe wasn't poel, you know, it wasn't as effective, and therefore it's only a tefillah for Shus. That's not what he's going to say. At least I was very surprised. Maybe you'll be surprised as well. Ki zos ha-ge'ula shonu mekavim. We have a tremendous, profound hope and longing for that geula. He rishus. The geula itself is a rishus. What does that mean? Geula is a rishus. I mean, after all, we assume that geulus is something that's imposed upon us, and we're like incarcerated in a jail. Hashem has put us in this situation of geulus. We have no way of getting out, and therefore we need tefillos. And we have to daven, and that's our chova, because without Siyata Dishmaya, certainly we'll never get out of this golus. And now the Beis Elokim throws a curveball, as we call it in baseball, and he says, no, you got it wrong. And the answer is that this golus is in our hands. We can terminate the golus. How is that so? Rishusi b'yodeinu b'chol yom. Every day we have the opportunities presented to us to bring about the geula and the termination of golus. How? In Bekolo Tishmo. Again, I think he's talking to the community of Israel, not to you and me as individuals. If we'll decide that we are dedicated to fulfill God's will, Mashal Ohoya came Begolos Mitzrayim. In Golos Mitzrayim, there was a divine decree when it would begin, when it would end. It's not in our hands. And in fact, we had no zchuyos really to be redeemed from Mitzrayim. Shenemar zmanagos arba meil shana. Golus Bavel was predetermined, predecreed as shivim shana. V'nomer lehem b'nu batim shvu nitu kramim v'ichlu piryam. This whole story there by Baruch ben Neria, if I remember his name correctly, that you should write shtaris, you know, on all the karka, because you're going to have to leave, but then after the exile, you'll come back 70 years later. And not only that, he says, it's very nice to know that at the end of 70 years, we'll experience geula, but you should know there's a negative side here too. The flip side is that all the tefillos and all the supplications are not going to shorten. It's definitely going to be 70 years. However, aval galusenu, but our exile could terminate in a snap of a finger. Keherifayim. Why? Hu aruch mitzarecha v'kotza mitzaracher. On the one hand, it's very long, and that's true, but it's also very short. Why? Well, how can I call it a short golus? Hakitzer hu, the meaning of this shortness, is shekol zman shenachza v'tshuva l'fun of every moment we have the opportunity of doing tshuva, nishma v'kolo, v'yigal osonim. There's no minimum number of years that we have to remain in this golus. I'm not sure that everybody agrees with this position. Why is this such a thing called tzipiso l'geula? It's one of the three questions I'll ask God when he get up on high. Because it was in our hands. We have the potential, we have the cards in our hands to bring about the geula. And therefore, Nistam Akeitzel Daniel on his parish, Daniel who, foretells, is that the word? He foretells the ultimate geula, but he never tells us exactly when the Keitz is going to happen. Why? Because it's not predetermined. It's not up in Shamayim, X number of years. That's how long we're going to be in Golus. Lo haya ela kishalo yeshuva me'atzman. The Golus will only continue if we fail to stand up you know, stand up to the plate and do tshuva. Avol im yashuva me'atzmam is bechol yom muftachim sheyava goel. So Rabbo said, it's unbelievable when we say in the I don't know how many of you have the minhag, the tradition of reciting the Yud Gimel Ikrei Adas, or at least the last of them. You know, Animan and Munishay b'chol yom afal bisha yisvameh b'chol yom achakelo. What we're really saying is not that we believe and we trust in the Mashiach, or we trust in God to bring about the Mashiach. That's not the pshat. The pshat is we believe in ourselves. We believe in our capability to bring about the day that Mashiach will come. If we do tshuva, and that's what Eliyahu HaNavi says, as the Gemara establishes in, at the end of Sanhedrin, Hayom in Bekol Tishmo, Hayom. Bechol Yom, when we say Bechol Yom Achakalo, it means that every day we have the potential of bringing about the Mashiach. And if you'll take a look on the next page, which will say on the top left, it says number 4, he says, Imlo Yachzeru, what happens if Chas Hashem will never do tshuva? So he says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin establishes that Hashem will bring about a situation where we'll have to do tshuva, because the gzeirus of the Melech Az Vikosh will be so powerful and so anguish so full of anguish that we'll have to do tshuva. So Rabbo said, we now have at least one approach as to why Yaakov Avinu's tefillah was a tefillah's reshus, to tell us that we have the reshus. That tefillah means that we have it in our hands if only we accept upon ourselves and live up to our responsibility to do tshuva and to listen, hearken to the word of God, we can bring about that goal. That's what the essence of tefillah's arvus is all about. And Rabosai, it makes sense according to the Mabit that tefillah service is at night, because what does night represent? Golos. So this is the time when we daven Ma'ariv at night. You know, in a certain sense, that puts Yaakov Avinu's tefillah on the highest level, because it really is a way in which we, through our tefillah, are able to bring about the Geula if we only do it properly. But the Pnei Yeshua has a slightly different approach here, and he says the following: V'nira. That Yaakov established the tefillas reshus, kevan shehu atzmo lo espalos the tefillah derech nedava. So the Pnei Yeshua says that Yaakov Avinu himself davened this tefillah as a tefillah of nedava. And he says, "Ubedrush harachti o lochiach sheba oso shah hayimispal tefilas mincha." That really he was meant to daven tefilas mincha. But ishkia kodesh baruch hachamish lo bo nasa. God brought about the sunset prematurely, so the sunset early, shtei shos 2 hours early. And even though there was no longer time for tefilas mincha, Yaakov Avinu decided on an optional level to voluntarily daven, and that was a tefilas reshus. And he davened tefillas arvus. But again, the Pnei Yeshua doesn't give you a clue as to why Yaakov Avinu would have established a tefillah called the tefillas reshus. But you know, there's something called the Ein Yaakov. Is everybody familiar with the Ein Yaakov, which is a compilation, an anthology of all the commentaries on the Agada to the Gemara, one of which is called the Rif, has nothing to do with Rav Alfasi. He was about 700 years after the Rif, or much more than that even. I'm trying to remember his name right now. He's a Sephardi. And he wrote the commentary on the Agadah called the Rif. So again, we don't have time to go through the entire piece, but if you fast forward to line 6, so 3, 4, 5, line 6, in the middle of that line, he says, Umandi Omar Ovos Tiknua Sover Davi Chova. He's absolutely convinced that if you accept the Shita Rabbi Yossi, that Avos Tiknum, then the third tefillah should be a Chova. Right? It's only according to the Man Yomer who says Keneged Tminim Tiknum, that's Rabbi Shuvan Levi, then it becomes a Rishus, because it's Keneged Evarim Pidorim Shalom is Akla Gabi Mizbeach. But then the Gemara brings the Tanya the Messiah Rabbi Yossi, the Yomer Tfilos Avos Tiknum. Avram was Masaki Tfilas Shachris, Yitzchak tefilas mincha, and Yaakov tefilas arvis. Then he writes the last two lines. He writes, "Ukeshem she tefilas hashachar v'amincha hi chova v'lo rishus kach tefilas ma'ariv shehiskin Yaakov hoisa chova v'lo rishus." So we now see in front of our eyes a split, a debate. What would Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, namely tefilas avos tiknum, say about tefilas arvis? Some say that it should be a tefilas chova, and that's what we said. Is the simple pshat, but others want to say that no, Yaakov Avinu davened as a tefilas nedavur, as a tefilah keneged the geula of the third galus, which is something that's a reshus. But here I want to study with you the Iyun Yaakov, also one of the commentaries that's anthologized in the Ein Yaakov, called the Iyun Yaakov. And he says the following: Ayin bechidusha arif shekos d'laman diomar avos tiknum. Gam tefilas arvis chova kmo tefilas shachris. Okay. Oh, now he says his own. So he's going to disagree with the Rif, and he says al pi hadrash amarti the afleman the omar avos tiknum b'kol makom efshalom the tefilas arvis rishus. Why? What is the logical reason to say that Yaakov Avinu's tefilas arvis was only a rishus? So he quotes a Gemara in Brachos Perkei Nomdin, that's on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. It says over there that the Gemara wants to derive that you should only daven if you're in a state of what's called covered rosh. Does anybody want to help me out here? How would you translate that into English? Covered rosh.
Seriousness.
A very serious, heavy attitude. You know, if you're, you know, if you're coming out of your daughter's Sheva Brachas, or you're a Bretzlava and Mitzvah Gedol Elias B'Simcha, or as, if I can quote Simon and Garfunkel, feeling groovy, then that's not the right attitude for davening Shmon Esra. You have to be in a state of COVID rush. And the Gemara, after the Mishnah establishes that Ein Olden was followed me told COVID rush, the Gemara wants to know, how do you know such a thing? Gemara thinks we could derive it from Tfilas Chana, because it says by Chana that she was Moras Ruach. She was in a very, I don't want to use the word depressed, but she was in a very heavy, anguished state. The Gemara says, no. Shiny Chana, you can't derive this as a universal principle in Hilchas Tefillah, because Chana was in a particular, unique situation. The Marir Lavo Tova. She was in a state of Marirus, which literally translates as bitterness. You know, she was very bitter about her situation. She had no children, and she desperately wanted to give birth to a child, and therefore she davened mitoch COVID rush. So even Yaakov wants to apply this logic, this description of Chana and her tefillah, to Yaakov Avinu. Why? Gam Yaakov hayu morir lavo tuva. He was in a state of bitterness because he was lacking tova, right? He didn't have the tova that we discussed, Gershon, the three tovs of Chodesh Tov, Shavua Tov, Mazel. He didn't have that. Mitzoros Ravo Sha'ovro. Look at the life of Yaakov Avinu. Here's a very quick overview of Yaakov Avinu. Esav, Lavan, Dina, Yosef, and Gagavin, even
so,
more.
This was all after, other than Esav.
Okay, good. But he gives a number of answers, but let's just see this answer. L'kach yesh lomar shispal tefila yisera. In other words, it wasn't that Yaakov was adding a tefilas chova. There are only two tefilas of chova. He was adding a tefila because he was desperate for another tefila. Tefila yisera l'shar kol adam reshus. He needed desperately that tefila, but for everyone else, it was a reshus. And he goes on to quote a Tanchuma to support this position. Fine, fine, fine. The Ode Nirali, I'm skipping about five lines. Another pshat. Hatam, why is Yaakov Avinu establishing a Tfilas Rishus? She Yaakov Hayamasmid Bitori Yom Valaila. And therefore, Misha Torosum Nasu Potamina Tfilah. His Tfilah was only a Rishus. So now the Ein Yaakov is giving us two possible answers to the question why the Tefilas Arvis was Rishus. Either because Yaakov Avinu was in a very particular situation in life, He was running away from Esav, and therefore his tefillah is a tefillah merirus. And we can't derive conclusions and chovos from a tefillah. So you want to derive from Chana that there's a chov of COVID rush? No, the Gemara rejects that. You can't derive a tefillah from Yaakov Inu. His tefillah was above and beyond the chi of tefillah because of his state of merirus. Or alternatively, he was potter from tefillah because he was Torahso Ubnaso. He was totally, exclusively dedicated to the study of Torah. The ode, he gives a third answer, which I can't begin to understand. So Rabosa, if you could help me with this, I really should skip it because I don't understand it, but maybe you'll help me with it, which would be very, very nice if you could help me with this. Kosam afarshim atam mishum de'ikar tefilahu mishum shesifsoseichem dovos bekever. That somehow tefilah continues even after a person's death. So whatever prayers that you pray during your lifetime, again, this may be a Kabbalistic notion, I don't know, but those prayers will continue after you die.
Everything, now, everything you do in this life, you get a Swiss form after you die. So,
right. Right, but he's saying dovros bekever, as if, you know, while you're dead, you continue those tefillos. I don't know. So what does this have to do with Yaakov Avinu? He says the following, the other avos died. Right, Avram died and Yitzhak died. So you can say that tefillos are tefillos that have this additional dimension of dovros bekever. Mashenke Yaakov Avinu Chazal say lo mes. Vayechi Yaakov is malamit shelo mes. Lekach tefillos rishus. It can't be a tefillos chova because a tefillos chova is only a tefillah that continues posthumously. I don't know. This is something Kabbalistic that's beyond me. The ode, now he gives a fourth answer. Nafkemino ben shnei. Hatamim elu delamani omer ovos tiknum afsha overs man tefil yeshlo tashlumin. Masha ain't kenim mukneged karbonos is ovars manam botel karbonos. In other words, the Gemara wants to assume that only if you hold that ovos tiknum, you can have a concept called tashlumin. In the case of karbonos, it's overs manam. That's why, for example, musaf, which is purely Keneged Karbonos, is over Zmano Botel Karbonos. There's no such thing as a Tashlumin for Tfilas Musaf. And the Gemara insists that in the case of Yaakov Avinu, we're not talking about Keneged Karbonos Tiknum, we're talking about a Tfilas Rishus. Because if it's Keneged Karbonos Tiknum, then you're not going to have a Tfilas Tashlumin. The Gemara insists that in the case of Tfilas Arvis, like the other two Tfilos, there is an element of Tashlumin. But again, just barring all the details, I think what we want to get out of this in Yaakov is that the reason why Yaakov's tefillah is a tefillas reshus is because his tefillah was mitoch merirus, and that was a voluntary tefillah, or it was voluntary because he was potter from the mitzvah tefillah b'toras toras obnasa. But here I wanted to share with you the Ramah Mipanoah. His name was, last name was Katzen Ellenbogen. Amru li olam ye adam zayr b'tfilas mincha v'zachru achreya tfilas arvus shi rishus v'kavua l'chova. Meaning, even though Yaakov Avinu did not establish tfilas arvus as a chova, we in later generations accepted it upon ourselves to daven tfilas arvus as if it were a chova. And why is that? Because b'chol golus shenigla kitzo rotzu lispal arvus. In other words, we're in a situation where we want to take advantage of the opportunity to daven, even though we're not obligated to do so, because of the need that we have to establish a redemption, to achieve a redemption from exile. The goal is hachal hazeh, meaning this goal is that we're in shol nigla kitzo, we don't see the end of this goal is chov aleinu laharvas b'tefila. You know, in every other goal is, we saw the light at the end of the tunnel. We had real faith that the Gula is coming, but this one is such a long Golus that we better take it upon ourselves as an absolute chova, and that's the nature of Tfilas Arvis. So Tfilas Arvis is definitely related, as we saw already in the Mabit, definitely related to asking for Gula. But now we swing back to the Chassam Sofer that we started with. You remember the Chassam Sofer was, you know, left us very perplexed. He himself was very perplexed. He didn't understand how Yaakov the Bechira Avos couldn't achieve a Tfilas Chova, but rather a Tfilas Rishus. So he says, no. If you take a look at the Gemara Masechta Yevamos, And the way the Chovas HaLevavos accepts it, interprets it, it says, Misha ein lo ela Torah, is afilu Torah ein lo. He says there are people who dedicate themselves to the study of Torah, but that's it. He says, Misha eino ose ela kemoshu mitzuvo medagdek. So the Chovas HaLevavos has a new take on this. What does it mean, ein lo ela Torah? What does that mean, ein lo ela Torah? He doesn't observe the mitzvahs? What are we talking about, an apikoros who, you know, he has no yarmulke on his head and he's learning Rabbi Kivegas? No, that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about someone who only does bedigduk exactly what he's mitzuvah. Kechut ha-sayra, you know, he won't go one iota beyond what he's obligated to do so. Who osa, how does he observe the mitzvahs? Ke'evet. He's like a slave, that's a servant that's compelled to do so. He absolutely part there. He doesn't know how to find his way out. He wishes only if he could get out of it. Me'avodoso, me'avodos rab, al-kochu osa, it's against his will. But then there's something called an avodami ava. Right, that's not the case of Ein Lo Ela Torah. Ein Lo Ela Torah means he does like an Evid, it's an upkumanish, he just wants to get it over with. But here he's doing it mi'ava, with a shlemus, with his slavus. He loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's burning inside of him. And there's no end to his avoda. He never has enough time to do the avoda that he wants to. And he quotes Psukim. He says that the Ben HaChacham, when he shows up at the Seder table, what bothers him the most? He says, we have a rule that a katan is potim in a mitzvah, and yet, when it comes to Leil HaPesach, all the entire Seder revolves around whom? That little child. And not only that, there's Aloch and Karban Pesach, that the Karban Pesach can only be eaten with Nuyav to those who are appointed. And the law is that if you so desire, you're allowed to appoint a katan. He's also considered Echad Min HaMenuyim, and he's allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. And this is what the Ben HaChacham didn't understand. How could it be that we put such emphasis on the katan when the katan is part of a mitzvah? And he says, Ma, Yomi, Amayim, why is this night different than any other night? Eschem means the Gedolim. As Gedolim, we were obligated. How do we understand that he's including himself, and yet he's excluded himself? And the answer is, I'm included because I'm obligated to the mitzvahs. But what about my child? If I'm a bar chiyuva, then I'm chayev. But if the child is not a bar chiyuva, he should be excluded. Vatshuva al zeh, what's the answer to this? Avodim hayinu lefarav Mitzrayim. We were slaves of Mitzrayim. And ke mechurim, it's as if we were sold. Le'akadosh Baruch asher otziyani me'avdus lefar. Now if Hashem takes us out, then are we going to serve him kimuchrachim, like we're forced because we're no longer avodim to Paro, but now we're avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No. The answer is that's not real avod. Ubameh yivoda efo avasenu es Hashem. How do we make that leap from just going out of our avdus to becoming avodim to Hashem in the sense of compelled? How do we get to the leap of Ava? Chafzeinu lasos ritzono. We really want to do what Hashem's will, and that's what we're trying to achieve. And therefore, anachnu osim harbe, we're going to do even more than we're obligated to do. Vafilu aktanim, and even the children who are minors, sheinam bar chiyuvo, anachnu molamdim ma'orim libosom la'avodos v'yarav. We want to already see the child who's going to fulfill the will of Hashem. All right, we'll fast forward because I see it's getting late. V'hainu nami b'tmidim u'keneged beis tefilas ha'mechuyavim heim heim ikar avoda. When it comes to avoda, what we're obligated to do, those are the first two tefilos, which are connected to the first two tmidim, the two tmidim. And then we add a tefilas rishus, that's arvus. And what is that? It's the chashuvim and akol. That's the most important of the three tefilos. Why? Because kvar nigmar avoda, we've really fulfilled all our avoda as avodim have to do for the master. Ein chiyuv al koin b'layla. This avarim u'pdorim is not an absolute chiyuv on the coin. Lashgiach al Evarim klal, he doesn't really have to stand over the Evarim. He's done his avod, he's finished. Umikol makom, but nevertheless, mechefto mirtzona gam balayla, lo shachav liba, and the Kohanim are there doing overtime duty. Vizui avoda nevcheres, that's the highest level of avoda, mi'ava, vihitfilas Yaakov, and that's what Yaakov is, the Bechir HaAvos. He's the greatest of the Avos, and he wants to give us the ability to daven and to pray of an avoda nevcheres. He's the Bechir HaAvos. This is Avodah Nivcheres. This is beyond the call of duty. This is a voluntary desire out of Ava. That's what Tfilas Arvis represents. Okay, Rav Osi, we'll have to stop here, although we had a few things that we had to fill in. But
that goes against the theology school.
You do me a favor, Herb, if you don't mind. Sorry, Michael. Just if you could open the door so people will realize that...
It's better that you get more schar for doing a mitzvah because it's commanded than just by doing something that you have an option to do. There's a whole...
Correct, but if that optional mitzvah represents your entire attitude towards avodah, then it takes on a special significance above and beyond. Now you're asking a different question, who gets more schar? Godol HaMitzuvios, but in terms of what it represents and why Yaakov, as the Bechir HaAvos, gives us Tfilas Arvis Rishus, that's already a whole different perspective. So take a look if you can at the Ksam Sofer.
This was for the Chazal Kalam.
Oh, okay. You know what, Herb, I forgot to bring you...
Now this